All right. All right. Hi, everyone. Welcome. I'm going to call to order the March 27th Zoning Adjustment Board's meeting. Going to start off by reading, as we usually do, the public advisory, so bear with me. Public advisory. This meeting will be conducted in a hybrid model with both in-person attendance and virtual participation available for members of the public. For in-person attendees, face coverings or masks that cover both the nose and mouth are encouraged. Face coverings will be provided by the city and available for attendees to use at the meeting. Members of commissions, city staff, and the public are encouraged to wear masks at all times, except when speaking publicly from the dais or at the public comment podium. Although masking is encouraged, even when public speaking, for members of the public feeling sick, please do not attend the meeting in person as a public health precaution. Currently, there are no physical distancing requirements in place by the state of California or the local health officer for an indoor event similar to a commission meeting. However, all attendees are requested to be respectful of the personal space of other attendees. An area of the public seating area will be designated as distance seating to accommodate persons that need to distance for personal health reasons. Live caption broadcasts of ZAB meetings are available on cable BTV channel 33 and via internet access video stream at the link on your agenda. To access the meeting remotely, join from a PC, Mac, iPad, iPhone, or Android device. Please use the URL on your agenda. If you do not wish for your name to appear on the screen, then use the drop-down menu and click on Rename to rename yourselves to be anonymous. To request to speak, use the raised hand icon by rolling over the bottom of the screen. Join by phone by dialing the number on your agenda and enter the webinar ID. If you wish to comment during the public comment portion of the agenda, press star 9 and wait to be recognized by the chair. Please be mindful that the teleconference will be recorded as any ZAB meeting is recorded, and all other rules and procedures and decorum will apply for ZAB meetings conducted by teleconference or video conference. Public testimony guidelines. This meeting will be conducted in accordance with Brown Act Government Code Section 54953. Any member of the public may attend this meeting. The chair may limit the number of speakers and the length of the time allowed to each speaker. To speak at a public hearing, please submit a speaker card to planning staff as early as possible at the meeting. Those are these green cards that are sitting up here. So if you have yet to fill out a green card and you wish to speak publicly in person, fill those out now. For anyone online, just wait until your item is announced and we'll have you raise your hand. And I'll go over that again too. At the start of the meeting, the chair may rearrange the agenda or place additional agenda items on the consent calendar, so it is important to be present at the start of the meeting to avoid losing the chance to speak on an item. The board encourages the public to submit comments in writing or by email in advance of the meeting. See supplemental communications and reports at the end of the agenda for the procedures. All right, so now that we are got that through, we're going to start with roll call. And ex parte communications. And I guess I wanted to at least start by welcoming our new commissioner, Commissioner Choi. So yeah, yay, we have a full board. I mean, not everyone, we're missing a couple, Michael Thompson right now, but we have a full board, everyone is appointed, and we're very excited to have you here. So yeah, with that, let's do a roll call and ex parte communications.
Good evening. When I say your name, please state that you're here and if you have any ex partes. Commissioner Kashani?
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Duffy?
Present, no ex parte.
Chair Gaffney?
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Thompson? Commissioner Palmatier? Commissioner Allen?
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Choi?
Present, no ex parte.
You have to turn the little red button.
Present, no ex parte.
Vice Chair Young?
Present, no ex parte.
Commissioner Sanderson?
Present, no ex parte.
Thank you.
All right, wonderful. Welcome, everyone. To start us off, we're going to go with public comment on non-agenda matters. Before that, I'm just going to actually say what is on the agenda so we know. So on the agenda tonight is item number one, which is the action minutes from last meeting. Item number two, which is on the consent calendar, which is 2700 9th Street. And on the action calendar tonight, we have item number three, 1117 Virginia Street. So if you have anything to comment on that is not related to any of those, now is your time to comment. Looks like we don't have any green cards in person. So right now, raise your hand online if you have any comments on non-agenda matters. Let's see. Okay, I'm so far not seeing any hands raised online either. Going to leave it one more second. All right. All right, we are looking good. So I have no agenda changes tonight. I like the way it's set up. So right now, we're going to move on to the consent calendar. And so the consent calendar is anything that won't be given a public hearing and is slated for approval, assuming that the board or the public doesn't take any action to remove it off the consent calendar and give it a full public hearing. So right now, said the things on the consent calendar are the approval for the minutes, as well as 2700 9th Street. So is there any member of the, I forgot, do we do public comment? We do public comment first before board, or? Yeah, so does anyone here, I don't think we have any green cards in person. So right now, if you raise your hand, if you have any opposition to the consent calendar, which once again is 2700 9th Street, now is your time to raise your hand, and we can give you 2 minutes to speak. I'm still not seeing any, so I'm going to open that up to the board to see if the board has any comments on the consent calendar or would like to make a motion of any sort. If not, I can make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
Second.
All right, we have a motion second. We are able to still talk. I did, yes. There's no hands online, so yes, we are all good. No public comment. Thank you, though. And so yeah, all right, we have a motion a second, but we can talk about it if anyone has any other comments. All right, then if no one has any comments, then we are ready for a roll call vote for the consent calendar.
Commissioner Kashani? Commissioner Duffy?
Yes.
Chair Gaffney?
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson, not here. Commissioner Pamitier, not here. Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi?
Yes.
Vice Chair Young?
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right, wonderful. The motion passes. That means you will be approved 14 days after the mailing of your notice of decision. You have 14 days to appeal during that period. And then after that, you will then have your use permit. All right, moving right along then to the one item we have on our action calendar, and that is 1117 Virginia. We are going to start off per usual with a staff presentation, and then we will move on to a 5-minute applicant presentation. And then we will get into committee comments and public comments. So we will just get city staff set up. And then we'll be good to go.
Okay. Hi, I'm Allison Reamer. I'm an associate planner. Variances are requested to add a 2-story, 28 feet tall, 1,900 square foot dwelling with a front setback of 0 feet and a rear setback of 8 feet where 20 feet is required and 68% lot coverage where 40% is the maximum. An administrative use permit is also requested to legalize a 7-foot fence. The project site is on the north side of Virginia Street between San Pablo Avenue and Keynes Avenue. The proposed project is in a mixed-use neighborhood that consists of commercial and institutional uses and 1- and 2-story residential properties. The lot is square-shaped and oriented south to north with frontage on Virginia Street. The site is flat and vacant. The lot is 2,694 square feet, where the minimum requirement for a new lot is 5,000 square feet. Fencing is 6 feet in height along the left and rear property lines and 7 feet at the right property line. The proposed project would construct a 1,900 square foot, two-story, four-bedroom, three-bathroom, single-family dwelling. An 805 square foot ADU would be attached at the first floor and is shown only for reference since it is not subject to discretionary review. More than 400 square feet of usable open space would be at the rear yard and the four balconies on the second floor. Variances are requested to reduce the front and rear setbacks where 20 feet is required and to allow the lot covers to exceed 40%. Since the project does not comply with the objective zoning standards for setbacks and lot coverage, the Housing Accountability Act does not apply and the project may be denied or modified. SB 330 or the Housing Crisis Act of 2019 applies. So if SAB determines the application is categorically exempt from the California Environmental Quality Act at this hearing, this application must be approved or disapproved by May 26. The average height of the proposed two-story single-family dwelling is about 28 feet. The applicant submitted shadow studies documenting the sun angles at 3 times throughout the day during the summer and winter solstice. New shadows would affect the dwelling, nearby dwellings at the following locations. 1644 Canes, north of the project site. The project would cast new shadows on the winter solstice at noon, at a window on the first floor, on the west elevation, and 2 windows on the south elevation, and on the winter solstice 2 hours before sunset at 5 windows on the south elevation. At 1654 and 1656 Canes Avenue, east of the project site, the project would cast new shadows on the summer solstice 2 hours before sunset at 3 windows on the west elevation. The shadow impacts would be in line with what is expected within a built urban environment. Shadow impacts to neighboring residences will be limited to certain times of the year and during certain hours of the day, and shadow impacts will not be detrimental. The project is in a generally flat neighborhood, developed with 1 to 2 story dwellings, and includes mature vegetation that obscures views from off-street angles. Because significant views are generally not available in this area, due to the grade and development patterns and mature vegetation, the proposed project would not create detrimental impacts to views. The project is consistent with the purposes of R2 district because it would strengthen the residential concentration in this residential neighborhood. A two-story single-family dwelling is consistent with the neighborhood. So, the subject lot is 2,694 square feet in area, which is substandard because the district standard is 5,000 square feet for new lots. The lot is about 54 feet by 50 feet square, where rectangular lots are much more common in residential districts, and setback requirements were developed with rectangular lots in mind. Applying the required setbacks to the lot would allow for a building that is approximately 8 feet deep with a gross floor area of 357 square feet for a single story and 714 for a two-story building. The property owner has a substantial property right to use and enjoy their property for a dwelling as the zoning intended. The lot dimensions make it difficult to build a dwelling that complies with the setback requirements and is of a similar size to neighboring dwellings. The variance for the front and rear setbacks would not adversely affect the health and safety of persons residing or working near the property since perceived impacts are characteristic of residential development. The variance would allow for the development of a single-family dwelling in a residential district. The new single-family dwelling would comply with standards for usable open space, building height, and side setbacks. The project would not obstruct protected views and would have minimal impact on light or airflow. Many of the nearby lots on Canes are of a similar size and feature dwellings with reduced front setbacks. The adjacent commercial lot has a zero-foot front setback, and the adjacent residential lot has a zero-foot street side setback. Concentrating the building mass at the front of the lot would allow for more open space to the rear. The variance would allow for the development of a dwelling that would have otherwise been precluded or exceptionally limited in size and location. The proposed residential unit would benefit the city as a whole by providing additional housing that would count towards, excuse me, the city's regional housing needs allocation outlined in the Berkeley Housing Element update. The project would not result in perceivable negative impacts on municipal health, welfare, and safety. So a two-story interior lot in the R2 district is allowed a lot coverage of 40%. 40% lot coverage on the subject lot is a footprint of 1,078 square feet, which would allow for a gross floor area of 2,156 for a two-story building. The proposed gross floor area with the ADU and dwelling is 2,683 square feet, which is 527 square feet larger than what is allowed. A building that was 44 feet by 24.5 feet would comply with the lot coverage requirement, but would not comply with the setback requirement. The property owner has a substantial property right to use and enjoy their property for a dwelling, and the proposed lot coverage is 68% for a 2,683 square foot building with a dwelling and an ADU. The variance for the lot coverage would not adversely affect the health and safety of people residing or working near the property, since the perceived impacts are characteristic of residential development. The variance would allow for the development of a single-family dwelling in a residential district. The new single-family dwelling would comply with standards for usable open space, building height, and side setbacks. The project would not obstruct protective views and would have minimal impact on light or airflow. And concentrating the building mass at the front would allow for more open space to the rear. The variance would allow for the development of a dwelling that would have otherwise been limited in size and location. The residential unit would benefit the city by providing additional housing that count towards the regional housing needs allocation. The project would not result in perceivable negative impacts on municipal health, welfare, and safety. The proposed project includes a request to legalize a 7-foot fence on the east property line. The fence will provide privacy and security for neighbors and is only 1 foot higher than what is allowed without approval of an AUP. Staff recommends that conduct a public hearing and upon conclusion approve the variances for the lot covers and setbacks, approve the use permit for the dwelling, and approve the AUP for a 7-foot fence. And thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for that presentation. We'll start with any commissioner questions to staff. So right now, it's just questions. We'll save our comments for later. But yeah, any comments, questions for staff from the commission? Yeah, Commissioner Duffy.
I have a question regarding the ADU and just what has been, what's your protocol and policy regarding. I know that this is something that it's not within our purview. I know it's protected under state law, but this is. As it being embedded in the structure, if you could just maybe share with us your perspective on that.
Yes, yeah, so it is kind of confusing when we have ADU because that's how it's part of the plans, but yet it's something that we can't approve or deny tonight. It's just subject to a building permit. One thing is if ZAB modified the project, you know, the applicant could also, you know, when they submit for their building permit, change where the ADU is located, whether that's in the rear yard, you know, whether they do it attached instead of within the footprint as it has been designed. But right now, the square footage of the ADU is, you know, for a one-bedroom or studio size. And so that's why it's like about 800 square feet.
Thank you. And a follow-up question, does this ADU then otherwise conform? I realize it's not in our purview, but it would other.
So for tonight's purposes, we are only reviewing the variance for the front and rear setback reduction and the lot coverage. And any revision will impact the ADU, but ADU is not for tonight's review.
So like, pretty much if I see the letters ADU, I just imagine like I never saw them.
We are reviewing the building envelope that includes the ADU, but it's not part of this variance.
Thank you.
All right, yeah, thank you for that clarity. Yeah, Commissioner Sanderson.
I just wanted to add that at the ADU does meet the side yard and rear yard setbacks set by the state and the height. So those are the major things that get in the way. So I think it's good.
Yeah.
So I had asked staff to provide some information on the square footages of residential properties in the vicinity, and I'm hoping that she would share them with the rest of the Zoning Adjustments Board. The table that was provided showed the average square footage of about 1,570 square feet and a median of 1,419 square feet. And what is being proposed from this project is
1,900 for the like single family portion.
So, but the building itself is
2683.
Okay. So it's a 2,600 square foot building, and the average size in the neighborhood is 1,500. So it's 1,000 square foot greater for a regular size lot. Okay. Then the other question I have for staff is one that is, I got kind of deep. I got excited and I did a lot of research, so I apologize. The definition of a trellis. So this project, this building has there are four decks on the second floor with trellises. And what's the difference between a trellis and a roof?
Oh yeah, I guess this is more of a zoning interpretation where we count the trellis towards lot coverage, even though there are spaces between the spans, you know, between the pieces of the, like it is partially open to the air. Like it wouldn't be a good place to be where it's when it's raining.
Yeah. So. And then the last one is maybe for, I'll ask it of staff, but you can punt it to the applicant. I was confused on the second floor. So the building is 28 feet tall. The second on the sheet A202, there's like, it reads like a third floor within that space. And can you clarify that pop-up that has skylights above it is truly the center square of the building is open up to that third floor? Because it has a weird label on it. Central room, it says.
Yeah, we can ask the athlete to explain, but I guess it's really just like a high ceiling.
Yeah, I want it to be clear for the plans that get submitted for a building permit that it is not, there's no floor, there's no like pull down stairs, it doesn't become usable space, all that good stuff. That is the conclusion of my question.
Okay.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Allen. Do we have answers for her then now, or do we need some more time on those? Did you get your answers?
I felt like
good?
I got my
you
answer.
You got them? Okay, yeah. Wonderful. Thank you so much. I guess then one follow-up I had on that. So just to clarify, it sounds like those decks do count towards lot coverage. They are included, or they are not included in the
calculation? Yeah, the decks are on the second floor, especially because part of them also project more than 18 inches, so that also counts towards the lot.
Okay, so that's a part of that 60% that is. Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much. That was my question. Are there any other commissioner questions before I move on to applicant? Doesn't look like it. Okay, all right. We are now then ready for the applicant presentation. So applicant, if you want to come on up here, we'll have you, either here or you can sit down if you have a computer to share, either one. I think both mics should work. And do you have a presentation you want to share at all, or
no? No, we can use the screen and
Oh, yeah, turn on that mic. And so we're going to give you, so it's a five-minute presentation. I'll give you a warning at 4 minutes.
The red button?
Should be, yeah, it's a little.
Is there a trick here?
Oh, I think, oh, you're doing the light here. Do it, move over to that microphone. Let's see. Stop, no, no, staff, does one of you guys want to go?
It's working.
Oh, there you go.
Here we go. Perfect. Okay, thank you.
We got it. All right, so you have 5 minutes. I'll remind you at 4.
Hi, I'm Robert Nebelon. I'm the architect. And Allison, nice to meet you. We haven't met before. With me tonight is the client and owner, Kevin, and his two parents. I was approached to the... A little closer. Like Elvis. It's a very tight site. It's basically a square, and as Allison pointed out, the only thing that could be built there, if you were to follow the zoning rules exactly, would be basically a, 8-foot by 40-foot sliver of a building. And of course, that wasn't going to really happen because that's unlivable. So we also, given the program that was asked for by the client, which was to do an attached ADU for his parents, and then the house would be a rental property for someone who wants a house, or maybe grad students who want to study together, which is becoming kind of prevalent, I noticed, in the last 3 or 4 years since COVID. And of course, this all required pushing the or requesting variances on this project. And my approach was, one, to kind of have this place act as a bridge between the commercial building on the corner and the duplex on the Keynes corner. And so we were looking at basically urban townhouses as a model. So, and if you know those, they're closer to the property line. And we wanted the front property line, we wanted to pull it forward to the front property line to give a backyard and have less impact on the rear neighbor. And we feel that we solved that issue very well. We also put large decks on the upper level, so every person, if it is grad students or people who want to study together, they have their own little unit up there. They have their own deck and their own room. In the common space, to your question, Commissioner Allen, the building is not 3 stories. What you might be looking at are just some attic spaces that hold equipment, but the building is only 2-story, and the central room is just a, as Allison said, a tall room on that. The building program is pretty much pushing out towards the street and towards the back, and the side setbacks meet the zoning code. We looked at houses around the parcel on all the streets, and we're trying to keep the scale. I know there's some question about the house being the largest on the block. That isn't quite true, because a lot of those houses are only single story, and a lot of them are very, very tiny, and kind of, because they were built so long ago, they were just the kind of houses that were built way back then in this old neighborhood were very, very tiny, and a lot of them are single story. So you can't compare a 2-story house proposal to a single story house in a very narrow defined way. So it is going to be bigger than a lot of houses because it's a more modern house, and two, a lot of the original houses are small and single story. Other than that, I think I met with the neighbor and they wanted the 7-foot fence for more privacy on the east side. And all the ones I talked to, and there weren't very many, they're all supportive of the project, so we're happy with that. And the purpose of the, I'm not sure if I said this, but the purpose of the whole structure is to provide housing, an ADU for Kevin's parents, and then they would basically become the landlord or the super be for the rest of the house. So it'd be a kind of a nice situation there. And they didn't want a very big garden, so they were happy with everything. They're very happy with it. And with that, is there anything else that I wanted to address? I think that's about it. If anyone has a question for me, I can perhaps answer it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for staying within that 5-limit time period. And yeah,
really?
Now, yes, you did.
Time?
Indeed. Great job. And now is the time for commissioners to ask any questions of the applicant. Anyone want to kick us off with any questions? No applicant questions?
I have a question. And I know you just briefly mentioned this, but Have you spoken with the neighbors in the rear? Not like you even have to, but have you?
I went to their front door twice. I sent them certified mail. I waited. I sent them plans, and they just never responded. And I'm not sure why, but you know, some people are, you know, people are people. So
thank you.
We try the hardest.
I understand, and they're noticed as well. So thank you very much.
Sure.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Commissioner Duffy. I had one question, I guess, regarding, obviously the decks are very large, but it looks like you're actually not very much over your open space requirement. Were the reasons, because they are, you know, the size of small bedrooms, so like, was that partially to be able to hit the open space requirement? Yeah, kind of what were the ideas of such large decks?
Well, we wanted to really make the bedroom and the decks have, well, first of all, my own philosophy is that decks for houses tend to be way too small. Mm-hmm. You know, as you know, they're 6 feet or 7 feet, and they're just used for really only for storage. So we wanted these decks to be larger. So that's what we did. Also, we really wanted these decks to be an extension of each bedroom, because we were thinking that it could be quite possible there's going to be four different people up there who are not a family. And sometimes you want your own space. And the way it's designed is that it kind of cartwheels around. So no one ever, there's lots of privacy, and the trellises, I call them trellises, it was just easier to call them trellises, but it's really a open roof structure, just to provide some sense of protection, but still providing daylight into the spaces. So that's why they're on the larger side, because we really saw it as more of a suite, although it doesn't have a bathroom, but you understand. It's
awesome. Kind of... That's perfect. Thank you so much. Does anyone else? Yeah, Commissioner Joy, go ahead.
It's a very specific question. In the plan, mm-hmm. where, right where the entrances are to the right and the left,
yes.
there's a connecting door.
Yes.
Could you explain that?
Well, they thought maybe one of these things in the future, they might just turn into one bigger place, but we weren't really sure. I mean, it's kind of left over.
Mm-hmm. So the idea of the ADU is it's flexible in terms of...
Yeah, because at one point, some other Kevin's family was going to live there. And that might happen, you know, because some are going to be students. So they thought, well, if that's the case, then there probably should be a bedroom between, because that's basically all family in there. That was the thinking behind there.
Okay. I actually think that the terraces are quite nice and works well with the massing in terms of relationship to the context of neighboring houses.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. Come on up. Since you had a minute left, then yeah, you can come up and say. But hold on, no, wait till the microphone.
Oh, this is Kevin Wang.
Come on all the way up to the mic. You gotta come up to the microphone. Yeah.
My company is called One Brother Construction.
Scoot even forward.
Brother Investment. We do some project in Berkeley. For this project, I will build the things for my parents. They're living in Arizona right now. They're getting older. They have to climb the stairs. So I want to build the house for them. The connecting door is in the future. They might need a caretaker. So we live in the next door and have the connecting door. That's the purpose for the connecting door. Just to answer your question. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions?
That was news to me.
I guess I still had kind of one more too. Kind of what was the, it's obviously it's a pretty tall building. Kind of what was, why the extra added height? What was your kind of design thinking?
Well, we wanted the central space to be kind of a area where they can all meet up and be well lit and not feel oppressive and not be a typical hallway in it. So it's more open, and we just popped up in the middle because it looked actually kind of nice, and we liked the pitched roof idea. So we wanted the whole place to feel healthy to live and be well lit and not have any tight spaces when, because remember, it's a square. And so in squares, it's nice to have more of a central space and eliminates a lot of hallways. So we took advantage of it.
Cool. Thank you so much. Looks like I think we're good on questions then. Then we're going to move over. So yeah, you can come on down. You can sit on down. We're good on that because we are going to move to public comment right now. I do not see anyone here in person. So right now, if you would like to speak online, now is the time to raise your hand. And we will give you your time to speak. I'm still not seeing any hands up right now. All right, going to give it one more second. Looks like no. Okay, so it does not seem like we have any public comment on this. So that means we are going to move over to any commissioner comments. So who would like to kick us off? Commissioner Allen.
All right, I'm going to start us off, and then I'm going to be a good listener. So I don't think the variance findings can be made. I think a variance finding or some variance finding could be made, but not these variant, not for the variance at the degree that it's being requested. And there's two things I'd like the board to discuss or convince me of otherwise. The first one is the front yard setback. I agree with, well, having walked up and down Virginia, yes, there are the setbacks along Virginia are relatively short, say 4 to 6 feet. I think it's an important element of the R2 zoning district, the light, the air, this is residential. I think a 6-foot setback to allow for plantings to soften it to feel residential. I appreciate that it is next to a commercial district, but is not in the commercial district. So to establish it as residential, I would propose a condition of approval for a 6-foot front yard setback. I did, like I said, I got excited about zoning. I looked at all the residential setbacks requirements. Even if you're in the R3, it's a 15-foot, the R4, it's a 15-foot setback. So the idea that there's 2 feet or zero at the closest point, I think is inconsistent with our the residential character and that concept of light and air. And then the second piece I'd like to talk about is the rear yard. And I really, I don't think the setback on the rear yard variance could be made either. And the piece that I'm having real trouble with are second story decks that are 10 feet from a rear property line. And it's one thing to be at ground level with a 6-foot fence. It's a whole nother thing to be up in the air 10 feet. And it's a whole nother thing to have 100 square feet of space up in the air in a residential district in the rear yard. I find that to be that the variance around the residential character and being required to give, you know, substantial property rights is that's not, it's too much. It's having a deck 10 feet from your residential neighbor on the second floor is not a right. So I'm gonna sit back and.
Could you tell me what the side yard one you wanted?
I don't have any proposed changes to the side yard. The front yard, I'd like a 6-foot setback.
6 foot. And what about the rear yard?
The rear yard, I would like the decks to be, the rear decks to be set back. This is where I'm looking at my architect colleagues, where I appreciate that a 6-foot deck is not as usable as 10 feet, but if it was a 20 foot, I'm not answering the question. I think 15 feet or 14 feet of a setback for the decks on the second floor would provide the
You mean
lighting.
Step the building back by?
I am not proposing to step
the step what back?
Building, to step the decks back from the second floor.
Two, but how, are they deep enough?
Yeah, they're
yes,
like, yeah.
They're heck of deep.
They're almost 10 feet or even bigger, yeah. And but yeah, so you're just saying you're not proposing to move the house bedroom one line. That would say
so,
it's just.
I'm a little slow tonight. So how deep are the decks?
Yeah,
I have it, but I keep losing it. Here.
Okay.
Oh, those, okay.
The decks are on top of living space.
Got it.
The ground floor.
So the decks are on top of the living space. They don't stick out beyond the foot.
No.
They are, yes. And so that's, yeah, they're 11 feet wide, 9.5 feet deep. So that means the entire deck is within the 20-foot. If we were respecting a 20-foot rear yard setback, the entire deck is within that setback at the second floor.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Allen. Anyone who wants to follow up with that? Yeah, Commissioner Anderson?
Well, this is interesting because for many, many years, the city of Berkeley never approved a variance. But this, in this case, I think it's generally warranted. What I'm not clear on is if the variance can only be for the amount that is essential to build a reasonable house. But who knows what's reasonable? So that to me is the quandary. I wouldn't have any trouble approving it because I think it's, you know, you got housing for four people, may, and then two in the ADU would be six people. Housing for six people on that building size seems to me not extravagant. So I'm struggling with what the, because this is different than we've had before. I've never had one like this before. So I don't know if staff has some advice for you, because it goes a little bit beyond what the findings assume. You're talking about the proposed project. The findings don't assume that you could have built a smaller project and made those findings. So that's why. So I guess what you're saying, I'm thinking out loud here, I'm sorry, guys, is if they made those couple of changes, the variance would be more sustainable.
I'm saying for me, exactly. I cannot make the findings for this project. If the decks at the rear were pulled back and the front yard was increased, then I would be comfortable with
and that, but that would change the footprint of the building.
Yes. Yeah,
it would reduce the footprint.
It would.
And by how much, do you know? To calculate it?
Sure, if we said 6 feet by 40 feet, 240 feet. In the front, yeah, and I think, and again, the math that was provided by staff, if the average home size in the area is 1,600 square feet, and we would then be reducing this, and it would still be above average, it would still be above median for the neighborhood.
Well, I guess,
just as, like, okay. Again, the math is real squishy.
All right. Yeah.
Commissioner Duffy?
If I may, I appreciate you bringing up the issues to address, and I appreciate the opportunity to opine as well. Maybe I'll just share my thoughts around the front and the back. And really, to me, my sense, so reading the variances as written now, as they are in front of us, my sense that those variances do hold. And partly because one of the things that I'm interested in, and I think that the code is also very much interested in, is that the edges and the context. That's what we're talking about, is the edges. When I look at the edges, and we start with the front, within a two-block radius, this type of lot condition, as unusual as it is actually very usual in that neighborhood, where you have a square lot that's kind of a keyed in on a short block. And so this actually does happen, and is, if we're talking about referencing existing conditions, that it is actually a common condition in the neighborhood. And I know that these lots were made also often before the minimum lot size was jacked up to 5,000 square feet. So there's that about the front. One other thing about the front that I think is important to know is that The eaves and the projections of the building are what go to the property line. So that's the zero lot line, right? But it's actually just the corner that touches. So it's the corner that touches at about 25 feet high in the air. So if you look at the ground floor, it is setback. And if you look at the rendering, there's plantings. And I think that's just important to know, because a zero setback isn't just a big wall on the street, but actually it goes from about 6 feet and it tapers to about 2 feet. So there is a setback and there is some planting. Whether it's adequate or not for the findings to say that this is other, if it were upheld as here, it would be detrimental to the health and well-being of the neighborhood, I don't believe so. That said, now the rear. The rear is an interesting thing, and we deal with this also on lots like this, where you have the rear of one lot, it's this lot, up against the side of another lot. And my sense is, when we're up against the side of another lot, and we're looking about typical zoning conditions and typical zoning code, side yards are often 4 to 5 feet. So in this case, people often expect and live with 4 to 5 feet between neighbors. And so to me, in this unique lot size and more sort of unique case, unique only because the zoning code with a 20-foot rear setback was written for deep rectangular lots, unique in that way, I think that it seems reasonable and actually contextual if you're within even 5 to 10 feet of somebody's side yard. So for me, I don't, the findings actually hold true to me, and the variances hold true to me, in that they don't adversely affect the health and safety of people by being within that proximity. That's my just my general sense about where we scoot things. And there was one other piece too, but I've been talking for a while. Please, Board Member Young, or please.
Yeah, Commissioner Young, go for it. Or sorry, Vice Chair Young.
Variances are always very difficult. So kudos to you for attempting it. I guess, does anyone know when this property was subdivided, actually?
It's in the survey.
Oh, okay. Well, presumably it was subdivided long before we set our zoning standards, which envisioned a neighborhood of 5,000 square foot lots. But in this case, we have an unusual circumstance. So I think to aid the conversation, it just helps to go through the findings in our municipal code for a variance. There are exceptional circumstances applying to the property which do not generally apply to the same district. Yes. It is necessary to preserve a substantial property right. I think the largest question is, what is that property right? It does not adversely affect health or safety, material detriment, public welfare, et cetera. So on to the substantial property right question. The primary dwelling unit we're talking about here is 1,900 square feet approximately. I think, thank you so much for getting that data. That was really helpful for this conversation. The median, if I recall, median either primary dwelling unit size or structure size in the neighborhood was found to be approximately also 1,900 square feet. I think that's, was it?
Yeah, it was 16?
16, yeah, I'm sorry. The average was 1,570. The median was 1,419.
Oh. So when you said average, you didn't mean median.
No, when I said average, I meant average.
Okay, you meant, okay, that's right. But then what's the median?
The median is, yeah, 1,419.
Okay. Yeah, that's useful to know, certainly something to keep in mind. So then the question is substantial property right parity with what your neighbors have currently built, or is it parity with what they could? In which case, what they could is 5,000 with a 40% lot coverage, two stories. That's a, what is 80% of 5,000? Oh, let's see. 4,000. So I guess theoretically you can get somewhere close to a 4,000 square foot home if you happen to have an empty 5,000 square foot lot. So for me, when it comes to the question of, is this preserving a substantial property right insofar as you could build the habitable square footage of a primary structure? Yeah, I think so. Onto the question of, since we're in discretionary land, onto the question of what is an appropriate front setback design-wise. You know, scoping out the properties on San Pablo and Keynes Avenue, it appears that the other small lot that's adjacent to this one has, for that lot, it's probably a side yard, but that side yard abutting Keynes is, it looks like approximately 4 feet. So from a design perspective, I am okay with the front setback insofar as it provides continuity between, you know, the approximately 5 or 4 feet of that residential setback and then the much smaller setback for the commercial property. I think having continuity of setbacks makes for a good streetscape. So I find myself being tolerable to the setback. You know, the question of the patios is definitely something I'm amenable to because, you know, I don't know how much substantial property right to me is inclusive of things that I would describe more as amenity as opposed to habitable square footage. So yeah, I just wanted to put my thoughts out there.
Thank you, Vice Chair Young. And yeah, I guess I'll speak a little bit on my opinion as well. Because yeah, while I certainly did feel that the decks are, it's a bit of a conflict I have as well, since as kind of Commissioner Young just put it, they feel more like an amenity rather than part of the habitable space. I also agree that I do think the front setback, I mean, said the way Commissioner Duffy phrased it is that even though, yes, it is technically at a zero setback, it is the roof, and that at least due to the way the front of the lot is at an angle, the setback does also get larger, at least on the ground floor. So I'm a little less, yeah, I don't mind the front setback as much as well. I appreciate what Commissioner Duffy was saying about the rear, kind of that rear, how it abuts the side yard and kind of those things regarding the deck. And that since that is, people are already used to having short setbacks along the side yards, that may seem like it makes it a little less uncomfortable. But I do tend to lean more towards possibly setting the decks back in the rear as well. But that being said, still kind of figuring out my thoughts on that. You know, with variances, we do have to be careful because it is a precedent that we obviously set not just for this project, but for future projects as well. So I appreciate our good discussions on this because, yeah, they're tricky. Yeah, Commissioner Choi.
I'm going to venture into this very slowly because a lot of very good points, and this is actually a really entertaining discussion. I think if you look at the drawings and if you look at sheet, the south elevation specifically, you'll notice that the ground floor goes to where it goes, and then the deck above is actually set back from the edge about 3 feet. So there actually already is a setback. So it's almost like the reverse rule of what we were saying about the roof at the front hitting the property line.
So I'm
looking at this.
Yeah, I'm looking at a sheet that says it's set back 10 feet, and you're looking at something that says it's set back.
So here, see that?
Right. So. That's 6 feet.
Okay.
Plus.
Right. But all I'm saying, what I'm saying is from, I'm looking at it from a human comfort, human interaction point of view.
Okay.
There is a bit of privacy there. And then if I then go drill into the site context, the house in the back, 1644, and this is the existing property, it could be it could go higher later, but working with what we have, that is a one story. So you're actually looking down onto a roof and not looking into somebody else's bedroom as an example. And it's only that one corner one that really could be the culprit, but actually isn't because it's looking down onto a roof. And so I don't see a conflict in terms of any kind of discomfort with the neighbor. I'm talking beyond variance here. I think from a variance point of view, your argument, I can't argue that. But I'm just saying from the the actuality of what we're looking at from any inconveniences between neighbors, I don't see a problem there. And I think from the front part of the house, the comment made about there is a soft edge from the sidewalk to the building. And actually, if you do look at it, it's actually, it has a nicer presence than the neighbors that are there right now. So, so that's, those are my comments, just in terms of looking at it from the human point of view.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Choi. Yeah, Commissioner Sanderson.
I want to clarify these decks. They're on top of the first floor. Is there, and this is where you have a trellis over them? Is that what's above the decks?
Trellis.
A trellis, mm-hmm. And it covers the whole thing?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they've, and that's counted as square footage?
No.
It's counted towards lot coverage, but it was counted in the lot coverage calculations, part of that 60%.
Because of what's below.
Yeah, so if you counted it towards square footage, the unit would, the building would be something like 3,000 square feet.
Okay.
But the fact that interpretations
have changed over the years. So in the past, if it was paved underneath the trellis, we would have considered it gross square footage.
Oh. Yeah.
So it's an interpretation that's changed over the years.
That's
interesting. So, and, you know, I think it's 6 1/2 dozen the other in many ways. Okay, that's all I wanted to know. Thank you.
Commissioner Duffy?
I would just share that as an architect that's been working in architecture for 25 years, the building code interprets it differently than the planning code, which interprets it differently than when you're calculating density bonus. They're all different. If it's open to the sky, if it's open air, if it's conditioned or unconditioned. So actually, the confusion is real, and each step of the way, the interpretation is different. So, understood. I think for the sake of this conversation, it's important to just know that the decks on the corners are actually set back a little bit from the outside edge. So it's almost like a birthday cake or something, the way they set back a little. Yes, they're open to the sky, and yeah, they're on all four corners. Something I find interesting is that often with projects we see, they have sort of a density and a massing to them where the public often also talks about the importance of open space and the importance of, or the lack of open space, especially on tight lots. So this is an example where I think we have a very tight lot. That open space becomes way more valuable for anybody. They don't have a backyard to go sit in the patio. Oh, they actually do. They've got 8 feet, so they got some space. But I think that these will actually be quite useful, and I think they'll actually be very beneficial for the health and well-being. So I think there's a pretty high value to them.
Yeah, Commissioner.
So if I can just add on to that as another architect. So my comment earlier about the terraces, and we were talking about air and health and safe. What was the term that we were using?
Light and air.
Light and air. I really do think they do add an amenity to that point of view. And the fact that the building has four terraces, that's very unusual. And it is an asset to the building. It is an asset to the neighborhood, I think, to have that. It's not a dense building. It looks like a dense building. But I think when you actually look at it three-dimensionally, on the four corners being open, possibly green spaces, that is an asset to the community and a good precedent, actually.
Thank you. Yeah, Commissioner Kashani.
Thank you. I started the meeting being convinced by Commissioner Allen that getting variances in Berkeley for the past 40 years, every time I've been around the design of a project, I've said avoid variances because it's impossible to get them. I think my colleagues have convinced me that the provision of open space via the decks, and that there's no neighbor opposition, given that, you know, I think it's very close to the neighbors. I've been convinced otherwise, Ms. Allen. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Sanderson?
I just wanted to share that I support the variances for a variety of reasons. First, there are a lot of 5,000 square foot lots are primarily found in the hills. We have very few 5,000 square foot lots in the flats. Most of the flats are closer to 3,000 and 2,000. So I think it's a tight lot. I think using some of that space as open space and providing that amenity I don't think that approving a variance means you have to strip out the amenities. And I know that's not what you were doing, but I like it. I think I can support the variance because I think this is to have that deck is not an atypical thing in a home. And just because it needs variances doesn't mean we have to make it less appealing to human beings. I think it makes a nice house on a very tight lot and with an interesting design and with amenities on the open area on the floor with the apartments is, you know, it's really nice. So I think that this is a good project for a variance, and I don't feel compelled to start creating setbacks in this neighborhood, where particularly in this neighborhood, where everything is so tight. So I will support the variances as proposed.
All right, thank you all. Well, we've heard a lot of good things tonight. Thanks to all of my fellow commissioners' comments, I also feel significantly more comfortable with the decks. I am a huge fan of open space, and I do think this would be a value to the neighborhood. For me, I do feel comfortable also supporting the variance after hearing kind of what everyone has to say. So I'm going to actually make a motion to approve the variances, or as stated, as proposed. Obviously, I'm still open to more discussion or friendly amendments. So, you know, this does not have to end here.
I'll second that motion.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Does anyone have any discussion? Looks like we're okay then. All right, it looks like we are ready to take a roll call vote.
We have a motion from Chair Gaffney and a second from Commissioner Sanderson to approve the variance as it is. Do I call vote now? Commissioner Kashani?
It's the motion to approve staff recommendation.
Yes.
Yes.
To approve staff recommendation with the condition. And findings and condition as presented.
Yes.
Sorry. Commissioner Duffy?
Yes.
Chair Gaffney?
Yes.
Commissioner Thompson? Not here. Commissioner Allen?
Abstain.
Commissioner Choi?
Yes.
Vice Chair Young?
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson?
Yes.
All right, wonderful. The motion passes, and that is you will have your use permit 14 days after mailing of notice of approval, unless it has appealed, which it has 14 days. You can appeal it during that time. All right, thank you, everyone. Variance conversations are always incredibly interesting, so I looked forward to seeing that when it popped up. No, sadly. Oh, thank you. And we're almost ending. You can say hi to us at the end or anything. No, thank you all. Sorry, got to be fair to many people that are here right now. Thank you all. All right, you're moving right along. We do not have much left besides just my communications from design review. So give me a second to pull that up. Do we have any staff communications as I pull up my... Any staff communications or anything? Sorry.
None. No staff.
Okay. Well, then you guys do have to wait for me to pull up the building because it's taking a long time to load. Also, if anything else has anyone else has any fun things to say, now is the time.
Wait, sure, actually, I'll jump in.
I thought so.
To anyone watching a recording of this meeting, sometime anywhere in the medium to distant future, another thing you could do to build a project on a small parcel in a multifamily zone, SB 684, and it's ministerial. check it out.
Nice.
I was just going to appreciate staff's level of effort on this and the level of detail. These are really, these require a really an expertise that that we just really appreciate. So it makes it much easier to understand and learn and make decisions up here when it's all prepared in a way that makes is totally clear. So thank you.
Absolutely, I will second that as well. And very exciting, I have the building pulled up now. Okay, so we are at, this is at 2100 Milvia. This was a preliminary design review, so that means it is still going to come here for its use permit. It is on Milvia and, was it 9th Street? Kind of right next to the Ace Hardware over on University area over there. So kind of right next over there. It's a corner lot. It is 8 stories and kind of broken up into a couple different massing. So the massing itself is actually pretty simple. It has kind of red, as I describe it, see if I can describe it well. It has a red frame around about 3 separate masses with some red vertical elements. And then those kind of red frames are separated by some more white volumes. So that it's done nicely. It's a very, it's not too busy of a building. They use symmetry in a nice way, but without it being incredibly symmetrical. Said it's pretty simple in colors, said white and red. It has a 2-story base, so I do feel like the base feels strong. And yeah, it's a very clean project. We had a lot of good comments on it, and yeah, I look forward to it coming to ZAB. Milvia and Addison, I'm very wrong, thank you. It's Milvia and Addison. But right next to these hardware. Yeah. Thank you guys. Thank you, staff. all right. Any last things? All good? All right. Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Awesome. Voice vote. Everyone, I forget voice vote. Anyone who yes, say yes, say aye.
No, this actually, I think it's not a voice vote. It has to be.
No, never mind. It's roll call. I'm sorry. You're right. And I forgot to close the public hearing earlier. I'm sorry, everyone. All right, roll call vote. I'll remember.
Yeah. Motion to adjourn the meeting. Moved by.
That was me. Yeah.
Commissioner Gaffney. Chair Gaffney. And second.
Second by me.
Commissioner Duffy. Commissioner Kashani?
Yes.
No.
Commissioner Duffy?
Yes.
Chair Gaffney?
Yes.
Commissioner Allen?
Yes.
Commissioner Choi?
Yes.
Vice Chair Young?
Yes.
Commissioner Sanderson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you, everyone.